This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
Underground, overground, wumbling free. The Wombles of Wimbledon, common are we. Making good use of the things that we find. Things that the everyday folks leave behind. Uncle Bulgaria, we can remember the days when he wasn't behind the
time. We are back, or at least myself and George Jones are. The first time we have been on the Wimbledon Fan Show, the AFC Wimbledon Fan Show, for quite a while, isn't it, George?
Yeah, it's been a long time since we've been in the same room.
Yes, the duo, the twosome, so many lyrics, we are frightened to use them, are back in the house here for the AFC Wimbledon Fan Show on Love Sport London. Plenty coming up over the course of the next hour or so. We are going to be looking back to that game with Accrington at the weekend. Plenty to talk about there, of course. We've got the classic transfer update, the under 23 game review. We're going to be looking at the academy. We're going to be looking all the way around League One. We're going to be talking about a certain under 18s cup final coming up, of course, and the big event yesterday, the Plough Lane Bond Media Day. All the fallout from that one we're going to be discussing, and looking ahead to games with Fleetwood, with Ipswich Town. If you want to join the debate, it is oh so easy to do so. 0208 70 20 558. You can WhatsApp us on that number as well, or you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. We're also now on Snapchat. So if you... No, I'm just kidding. We're not on Snapchat. We'll never be on Snapchat. Maybe we will. I don't know. You on Snapchat, George?
No.
No? That surprises me, mate. Insta? Yeah.
I'm on Instagram, but not an active user.
With the old selfies. Okay, George, let's get into the nitty-gritty of the game with Accrington at the weekend.
Yeah, it was a really poor performance. One of those games where you turn up and it's cold, it's wet, and from very early on it was clear that nothing was going to go our way from the referee or the performance or anything. It was just one of those games where we didn't turn up, and that's a worry. Going away to Accrington, a team where they are in the league, that's a game where if you turn up and you win, all of a sudden where we are now, we're 9 points clear, and that's psychologically huge. Mm-hmm. Whereas now we're 6 points clear with a tough run of games coming up, and we're looking behind us rather than sort of in front of us, which is where we would have been had we managed to beat Accrington, which was a winnable game. But it's true to our form and has been pretty much ever since we reformed, and probably even before then, where we beat Bristol Rovers, we beat Peterborough, and then lose to Accrington.
It's incredible, isn't it? When you look at that run of games, that victory over Peterborough now, especially considering the form they are in, flying at the moment, Peterborough, one of the form teams in the division, you'd have to say they are a safe bet, probably, for automatic promotion. It looks like that result now is even better.
Yeah, it's just one of those where it came out of... It was a good performance. We deserved to win. It was a solid result. And yet, there's no point beating teams like Bristol Rovers and Peterborough if you're not going to beat the teams around you.
Well, there kind of is a point, though, because if you can't beat the teams around you, you actually need to win those games.
Yeah, but it's obviously preferable to beat the teams around you so you're taking points off them. Because mm-hmm. all of a sudden, if you beat Accrington, or had we beaten Tranmere just before Christmas, we're double figures clear and we're safe. Whereas we lose that, we lose to Accrington. It's those games, the games that we've got coming up against away to Rochdale or the teams around us, they're the ones I'm less confident going into than the games against teams like Fleetwood or Burton the other week, when those are games we look more comfortable in than against struggling teams. And as a team fighting relegation, that's a worry.
One bright spark, Joe Piggott again, yeah, back on the score sheet. Now, I know that we speak a lot about Joe Piggott being a streaky player, but he can't stop anymore.
Yeah, he's just one of those players. He's very, very hot or very, very cold. He started the season appallingly when we had Force carrying us effectively. But ever since Force left, or just before Force left, Piggott has come good, and that is so important for us. Because we've said, obviously, we'll talk about our transfer window later, it didn't go the perfect way for us. And the fact that Piggott's now scoring is going to be so important. And if he can keep this form going until the end of the season, that will be what keeps us up this year.
Yeah, absolutely. 5-7 for Mr. Piggott. around, what, 15 minutes of the game to go by that point, there was a chance of getting back into it, especially the fact that Accrington were down to 10 men, Joe Pritchard being the man dismissed. Can we very quickly talk about that dismissal, by the way?
Yeah, it was laughable.
Stonewaller, right? An absolute stonewaller penalty.
I mean, I criticise referees on this show a lot. And for once, it was one of those where you just have to laugh. I mean, it was an absolute clear, one of the most blatant penalties I've ever seen. It should have been given for Accrington. Ref not only decides, ref blows his whistle, we assume he's given him a penalty, game over. Then he points as a free kick to us and then books him, which is his second yellow. It was... We were all laughing because it was that bad.
Bizarre. I mean, quite clearly upended. You saw the reaction of Joe Day, who kind of walked out and was looking, thinking, are you sure about this one, ref? And sort of ushered away the Accrington players, almost saying, yeah, we know, that's an absolutely scandalous decision.
Yeah, it's one of those where it's always against Accrington, we seem to get favourable refs. We got promoted because of an appalling decision when we played Accrington, where Trevor Kettle blew up as the ball was halfway into our own net. So we got promoted because of a bad decision against Accrington. We always get them against Accrington, and they're always in our favour. So it's a shame we couldn't capitalise and get a win. But we lost to Accrington because of a sort of an inexperienced side. We lost. I know we've talked about this before with Nathan Trott coming for crosses. Obviously, it was Joe Day in goal this week. But again, we conceded from crosses. We have now conceded 13 goals, I think it is, from crosses this season. That's more than any other side in League One. Mm. And I mean, some of that's down to Trott. Obviously, it was a new keeper in this week. And that's a major concern, because that needs to be sorted, because you can't concede that many goals from crosses if you want to have a chance to stand out of what is now a bottom three.
Yeah, certainly does need to be worked on. On the line now, we have an additional 9 years podcast name, and that is Kevin Borras. Hello, Kevin.
Hello, Matt. How are you?
Yeah, very good. Thank you. I'm here with the trusty George Jones.
Yes, I'm liking George's lack of positivity. It's quite nice. He's back to realism.
Well, we're 8 minutes in, so, you know.
I know. It's good. No, I didn't go to Accrington. So I must point out that none of us went to Accrington other than George, because we were saying goodbye to our fellow colleague, Mark Hendricks, because he and his family are moving to Switzerland in a couple of weeks' time. So we had a goodbye event, which of course Mark put on during the day because he has kids and he wanted his kids' friends and family to come.
Did he make a special German apple cake for it?
No, somebody made a very, very nice Swiss cake in the shape of this Swiss flag, which is very, very nice. Great food, very nice place in Teddington called Shambles. I know it's an advert, but the food was fantastic. However, George didn't go because he was an Accrington. So, you know, that's the level of George's commitment. Is he didn't come to the leaving do of his mate. He went to a game, and it was almost poetic justice that we lost.
So you didn't go, George?
No, I was busy being entirely miserable watching us not turn up at Accrington.
Well, you're being a football supporter, to be fair, and I have to say, how many? They're a very sparse number of people.
Yeah,
in
there was about 230 of us at the game, and it was one of those where it's Accrington, it's early February, the weather wasn't going to be good. We were never going to travel in huge numbers there, especially the form we're in. But it was a solid number.
200.
Yeah. Well, Accrington always struggled for a crowd, but I think there were 230-odd of our fans there, spread out over, we got half a stand of seating and a terrace behind the goal, so it's always going to look thinly populated.
The terrace in behind the goal looked like a lonely place.
It was very cold, very wet, and there weren't many of us, and we were very spread out. It weren't nice.
Well, we were in a very nice, crowded restaurant, very warm, eating food and drinking free beer that we were pouring ourselves. So I'm not suggesting you made a bad choice, George, but you made a bad choice, George.
Yeah.
That's not the spirit of it, Kevin Borras. You've got to support your team, surely.
Yeah, but we supported our team from Teddington. It was different. Now, I think normally we try and go to as many games as we can. This occasion was, we saw more important to see Mark and his family off to Switzerland in good order. Mm. Say goodbye.
Indeed. George, what I will just quickly ask you about before we move on from the game itself was the tribute to Billy Key beforehand. Yeah. Quite an emotional experience for Accrington fans, really for football fans, because this is a lad, 29 years old now, who has made the very difficult decision of saying, I'm going to hang up my boots. We know that he struggles with anxiety. He struggles with depression as well. To see him kind of do a farewell before the game was quite touching.
Yeah, and it's especially someone like Billy Key, who we've played up against for pretty much every year for the last 10 years or so. And it's someone we recognise. He's done incredible things at Accrington, been an incredible servant for them. And it's incredibly sad the way he's retiring. But for him to have that send-off, and for him to be able to talk about mental health the way he's doing it, that's only going to be good for the wider football community in the long run. So you've got to go, there's got to be some positive to what he's going through and how he's dealing with it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that ties in as well, doesn't it, to the game coming up against Fleetwood as well. That Mind, of course, the mental health charity, of kind of joining forces with the club to really promote that and kind of get local support going.
Yeah, it's one of those things where Mind are the official EFL charity. It's our turn to have the sort of Mind game for this week. We're having it against Fleetwood. And it's one of those where it's kids for a quid. Hopefully there'll be a lot of newer fans in there, younger fans in there. And it'll really raise awareness of how important mental health is, especially in demographics that don't normally talk about their mental health.
Yep, absolutely. This is the...
Are we saying we can buy a kid for a quid?
Under the Elite Player Performance Plan, you probably can.
You're bringing a child for a pound. Got you. Sorry, I was confused.
This is the AFC Wimbledon Fans Show here on Love Sport. Next, we've got a transfer update coming up for you.
For the fans, by the fans, Love Sport Radio.
It is the AFC Wimbledon Fans Show here on Love Sport. Me, Matt Beadle, with George Jones from the 9 Years podcast. Kevin Boras is joining us on the line too. We're going to get straight into a bit of transfer talk, gents, because the goalkeeping position is something that's, you know, been heavily discussed on this very show. Many individuals that have come and gone at AFC Wimbledon over the course of the past couple of seasons or so. Nathan Trott did sign on loan from West Ham at the start of the season. That looked like it was going to be a season-long loan. It's turned out to still be a season-long loan. However, Glyn Hodges has moved to bring in Joe Day from Cardiff City. There was a situation at Cardiff City, of course. You had Neil Etheridge, you had Alex Smithies. They were sort of vying out for the number one spot. Joe Day was the third choice, only gained a matter of minutes for Cardiff this season since joining from Newport County. He has now joined the Dons on loan from Cardiff, has of course played in his first two games at the club. We're going to get a bit of reaction on that from both George and Kevin. But first, Richard Lee, the ex-Premier League goalkeeper, was speaking about this specific deal on the Goalkeepers Union podcast. You can catch that here on Love Sport every Saturday evening at 11 p.m. Here's what he had to say on the Day Trot dynamic at the Dons.
So I can't help but feel that by bringing Joe Day in, what they've done is they've gone from having two very young goalkeepers, which they've had up to this point, to now having one who is very experienced. And it does kind of make sense, given that they are going to have another fight on their hands, you feel, back into the season, to have someone of Joe Day's experience, his ability. I understand why this is a good fit from Nathan Trott's point of view. Yeah, it'd be interesting to see what has happened or what will happen, because the whole point was he's gone there in order to get games. If it's going to be a case of him not getting games, then I can't help but feel that not only he, but West Ham won't be too happy.
Interesting. That was Richard Lee, their ex-Premier League goalkeeper, speaking on the Goalkeepers Union podcast. You can catch that on all platforms and also here on Love Sport every Saturday evening at 11 p.m.
George. Shameless plug there, Matt.
George, cross-promotion, mate. You've got to do it, of course. We talk about the 9 Years podcast in the show, don't we?
Yeah.
We'll rewind it. Let's get rid of the clip. We won't talk about AFC Wimbledon on the AFC Wimbledon Fan Show, for crying out loud. Joe Day and Nathan Trott, of course, George. Now, he has signed Joe Day. Nathan Trott is someone who Glyn Hodges came out, didn't he? And he said that, you know, he was going to go back to AFC Wimbledon, to West Ham, of course. He's decided to remain at the club and fight for his place. What do you make of this?
I think this is very much, I imagine we were told with a week or so left of the deadline, West Ham were not sure what they were doing with Trott and whether he would be recalled and loaned out to someone else or be involved in their first team, because obviously their goalkeeping situation was left very late in the window. And I think it was probably they told us they weren't sure, so we had to run out and get someone in. And Joe Day, let's be honest, is a good League One goalie with a lot of experience. He's not sort of one of these bad goalies that you're going to struggle with us. He's a really good, solid keeper for our level. And I'm very, very happy we've got him, because his strengths were what Trott struggled with, let's be honest, which were crosses, commanding his area, communicating. So it's a very good signing for us. However, when we're talking about budgets and all of that, sorry, Mark, but when you're talking about budgets, having two goalies who are not going to be cheap on the books for 6 months, that's going to hurt.
Kevin, I'm going to come to you from the Time Added On for Sausages podcast. Can you please give me your opinion on this?
Well, do you remember you and I last week, we discussed this situation at length and we were convinced each that he was going to go back. And there was no coming back from him, partly because why would you get another lone goalkeeper in? We weren't sure what was happening with Joe McDonnell. And then Joe McDonnell's gone to Notts County. And it was then clear that we weren't going to get another goalkeeper in because there wasn't enough time. And that Nathan Trott was going to be number two, which seems a strange thing for West Ham to do. Why have you loaned out your fourth choice keeper to a struggling League One side and then he's not even playing anymore? There seems I don't know what West Ham get out of this, because he's played 24 league games, 25 league games. He's done okay. He's a very good shot stopper, but as George said, and his crossing ability isn't great, and he's very slight of physique, easily knocked off the ball. He's dropped a few crosses and shots where he's been under pressure from bigger players. It's strange. I'm still not sure about it. I agree that Joe Day is a very good keeper, and I'm very happy to have him as well. I don't know what it does for Nathan Trott's confidence going forward, and I don't see what West Ham are getting out of it. However, we've got them both, and let's make the most of it.
Yeah, does seem like an extremely, extremely bizarre situation, yeah. George.
And I think his experience around the training ground is going to be key, because Joe Day's got a lot of experience around both lower league and higher level football. And you look at our squads, we've given more minutes to under-23s than any other club in League One by a fair distance.
And that includes Bolton, who played kids for the first 10 games.
Yeah, we have given 5,000 minutes more to under-23s than Bolton this season, which sounds absolutely remarkable considering they were playing a very young team in the first month.
Yeah.
But that just shows how young our squad is as a whole and how few senior leaders there are in the squad, especially when you've had people like Wordsworth and Will and Kwesi out injured for large periods of this season. Having just an extra senior player, an extra bit of experience around the training camp, let alone on the pitch, that's going to be huge for them. And with an inexperienced sort of defensive back five, which is what it has been this year, having a sort of a calm, level head behind them, that'll help as well. And hopefully, once they get a bit of experience, a couple more games together, we won't see the type of errors that cost us against Accrington.
But the other interesting I thought was last week when it was Joe Day's debut against Burton. Although it wasn't a huge crowd, it was only 3,600, you could hear him.
Yeah.
When he was coming for crosses, you could hear him shout. Now, I haven't heard Nathan Trott shout. I'm sure he must be. But if you listen to Nathan Trott's interviews on our YouTube channel, he's very, very quiet. He's just a quiet person. That's fine. Nothing wrong with that. But I don't hear him from the crowd when he's coming for a ball. He doesn't seem to claim it very loudly, but Joe Day, you could hear him through the noise. And that must instill confidence in the back four or back five that you've got a goalkeeper, A, who knows what he's doing, B, he's older than most of them, and C, he's loud. You know what he's going to do and you know what he wants. That must be important as a defender.
Yeah, it's definitely out of the Aaron Ramsdale school of communicating, where everyone in the entire county knows what that goalie wants from his back line.
Exactly. Yeah, no, that's how it should be. I mean, Matt knows more about goalkeeping than we'll ever forget, but... Yeah.
No. Hey. We're not going to mention that ever again on this show. Heaven forbid I should actually try and do a bit of promotion for AFC Wimbledon, for crying out loud. Let's move on to Julian Lamy.
Because you're a goalkeeping
Paul,
coach, Matt.
Because
you should
Paul Warren has spoken about Julian Lamy. He said that he thinks Julian's done okay. He said when he trains well. When he plays in the reserves, he does okay. If you want to play in the first team, you need to be the best player on the pitch for the Rezzies. What do you think about that one, George?
I think it's what Lamy is. It's a very odd one. It's an odd sort of situation. He's not obviously one of our top priority targets. He was probably all that was left at the end of the window. But he's a player who is tall, he's quick, he's very skillful. Hopefully he's the type of player that will be able to come in and make a big difference for us when sort of as an impact sub. It sounds like he can play as a number 10. So it will probably be coming off the bench for Pinnock, who I assume will probably be starting most of the games between now and the end of the season. And it will just give us that option, that little bit of flair, that something different. I don't think he's going to score many, but hopefully he can create something and sort of make the game more expansive in the later periods, which is where we've been struggling so far this year.
It does seem odd, though. I'm hoping he does really well. But we let Dylan Connolly, our only winger that we've got, we let him go out on loan at the beginning of the season to Bradford because we don't play with wingers. So even when Wally left, Glyn came in, we played pretty much the same formation. We don't play with wingers, and we will need a striker because we have one regularly fit striker, let's be fair. And we get someone on loan last minute, and it's a winger. It just seemed like a strange thing that we've already got one. Why did we not get him back? I mean, I'm hoping Lamy turns out very, very well, but it just seems like one of those strange things that, as you said, the shop window was getting thinner and thinner in terms of what we could actually get hold of. And my dad used to use the phrase of the last turkey in the shop. And I think, not suggesting he was the last one, but if the start of the transfer window, if you drew up a list of available strikers that we could have got on loan or bought, he would have been way down that list. Let's be fair. There's no way he would be in our top 20. But great. If he's good and powerful and quick and strong and scores goals, adds a bit of Gallic flair to the team, fantastic.
Yeah, I get a feeling he'll be used in the same way Aziz was in our promotion year, where he'll be coming off the bench for 20 minutes at the end against a tired defence, where he'll be coming on, make an impact, try and sort of expand the game, try and make the pitch bigger, you know, all of those sort of clichés, catchphrases, etc.
All those clichés, but with a fair, better understanding of the offside law.
Yes. And
that'd be nice.
But if he can trip over his feet and get a penalty in the big games like Aziz could, you know, that works as well.
That's true. No, but good luck to him. If he listens, I'm not denigrating his ability at all, because apparently he's very quick and very good, but it just seemed like a strange signing when we don't play with wingers and we get one.
Yep, I agree with you. Yet to score a goal, of course, in English league football as well. Let's move on to the under-23s, George.
Yeah, the under-23s played a game on Tuesday against a very, very experienced Leighton Orient side. We were very young. It was effectively our under-18s. We ended up losing 2-1 with Matt Harrell scoring the winner for them. But Tommy Woods got our goal. Tommy Woods continuing his good run of form, for whether he's out on loan or whether he's playing in our under-23s. He's scoring nearly every week, it seems. And his good of run of form, maybe he's a player who can be getting minutes off the bench. Maybe you're looking at when we had that promotion year, when we had a quick player in a lump effectively coming off the bench at the end of games. Maybe that's something we can look to replicate. Obviously, I'm not saying Tommy Wood is a Akinfenwa, but you could lump balls off him and it'll hit him, and maybe Lammy can do something off him.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think he could be. I still hark back to those pre-season friendlies where he scored, I think, is it 6 in 8 games in pre-season? No, you can't really, you know. You can't really quantify pre-season friendlies when you're playing against German third division teams 1 week and then Corinthian Casuals the next. But he just seemed to have that ability to be the right place at the right time, which you can coach all kinds of stuff in football, but I don't think you can coach having the knack of being the right place at the right time.
Yeah,
he's coach him skill and his heading ability is going to get better, but he just has that thing which a lot of players don't have. It might stand him in good stead.
Yeah, technically I think he's not a great player, but he always has that ability, you're right, to be in the 6-yard box, the ball to fall to him, and for there to be no one between him and the goal. He's just got that natural ability. And hopefully, even though he's technically not the best, if he comes on this year and the ball falls to him 6 yards out and he puts it away, that's all he needs to do. And hopefully he'll get an opportunity some point this year.
Yes, yeah, so imagine he gets on for a few minutes in our penultimate home game of the season. We're not going to mention who that's against. And scores a last-minute winner because it's come off his shin and rolled over the line, and we stay up. It'll be it'll be a hero. So let's hope he does. Let's hope him and Lammy together, as you said, could be the Aziz and Akinfenwa that we had from 4 years ago.
Yeah, it's gone a long way downhill in 4 years, hasn't it? Let's be honest.
Well, possibly. Yeah, we'll move on from that. But yeah, it's. I think the fact we've actually got strikers now. Lammy is a striker. Wood looks decent. Roscoe's come back to fitness. We don't know when Crazy Afire is going to be fit. He does have a little niggle, as do we, because the fact the niggle is he's never fit. But we'll end up with 5 strikers, which would be, you know, great. Let's have a choice.
Indeed, the EFL Youth Alliance Cup is coming up as well. Of course, Rob Chuvia said that he wants supporters down supporting the team, George.
Yeah, the under-18s have got their Youth Alliance Cup final this weekend in the Southern Area final. We're playing Cambridge. It's at the training ground. It's open to the public. Please try and get down if you can. It'll be great for the players to try and play in front of a crowd, get a bit of sort of support for them going, because it's a Southern Area final. If we win this, we're in the National Grand Final. And that would be, I think that would be the first time we've got there. And that would be such a huge event for our club. And it'd be so important for our under-18s, who are the future of our club. The academy is so important right now, talking about the financing and the funding, which we'll talk about later on. But they're such an important part of the club, and they feel part of the club. It'd be great if our fans could show their appreciation for them and try and get a big crowd for what is probably the academy's biggest game of the season.
Yeah, no, I'll be there. I'm going to get down there early. George, you're leaving now, aren't you, for the game?
I am afraid I can't make it due to my match day role.
You can't
I am beyond gutted that I can't make it.
Oh, so this one, it's not you haven't chosen to do something else. You actually are doing something else.
Yeah, I physically can't be there because I have to be at King's Meadow for 9 o'clock.
Do you want a lift? I can come and get you. Sorry, Matt, we're making arrangements. If you want me to give you a lift, I'll do it.
No, I have to be at King's Meadow because I start work on a match day at 9 a.m. That's absolutely mad.
Yes, this is a bit. I've got a thing. You mentioned the academy. One of our former academy players is in the current series of Love Island. And he's just done the dirty on the girl he was with. Extraordinary. So, just thought I'd add that. My knowledge of the academy compared to George is tiny, but the one thing I just realised is that Naz, as he is, has just dumped a girl for somebody else. Anyway.
You've gone down in my estimations talking about Love Island, Kevin Boris.
We've all lost a bit of respect for you here, mate.
We'll have none of that, mate.
Watching it.
We'll have none of that shameless self-promotion here on the AFC Women and Fan Show. Crikey, O'Reilly. While we're on it, to be fair as well, Matt Cox, the under-18s goalkeeper, we've got to mention him. Of course, he's been called up for the England youth squad. He's a goalkeeper, so I'm sorry for mentioning that, but you might want to discuss it.
Yeah. He made his debut for England under-17s today. He's kept a clean sheet on debut and played in an England penalty shootout win, which is something not many goalies can say.
That's true.
He's come on, he's doing very well. He's our third player our third goalie in 5 seasons to be called up for England for England school age. And that's such a big thing for an academy of our size to have what is effectively every year now a goalie in an England age group set up. That's remarkable and is so important for us. And massive congratulations to Michael Hamilton, Mark Robinson, Rob Toovey, Jordan Knight, the academy goalkeeping coach. Because that level of progression, you know, any goalie now in sort of if they're 12, 13 and they've got a choice of Chelsea, Fulham or us, with Bezo, with Jordan Knight and with our pathway, we're up there competing with the big, big Premier League clubs for your academy players. And that's remarkable for a club of our size.
Yeah, that's great. And the previous one before Matt Cox was, of course, Joe Bursick, who was in goal against us for Akin Stanley on Saturday, who did us a great favour by letting Joe Piggott's header go through his hands.
Yeah, but I wasn't mentioning
was
that.
Was it Will Mannion before him?
Yeah, Will Mannion before him. And in between then, we had another goal who we've sold to a Premier League club.
Stop talking about goalkeepers, guys. Joseph Bursick is actually a free kick-taking goalkeeper, isn't he? Yes. Right, we're going to be talking about the Plough Lane Bond next on the AFC Women and Fan Show. Stick with us.
We've all got one, and we're not afraid to put it on display. Our opinions, that is. Share yours now at Love Sport Radio on Twitter or call us 0208 70 20 558. Love Sport Radio, your fan station.
It's the AFC Women and Fan Show here on Love Sport. Me and Matt Beadle with George Jones and Kevin Boras of the 9 Years podcast. We are going to move on now to what was a rather eventful day yesterday for the club on Wednesday. It was, of course, the Plough Lane Bond media event. Of course, looking for all kinds of cash to help AFC Wimbledon move to their spiritual home of Plough Lane. George, you want to take us through what happened?
Yeah, this was one of those events. Obviously, the Plough Lane Bond's been going for a couple of weeks now. It's trying to raise $5 million, but $3 million's really enough to get us to where we need to be. And this is to basically make sure that we can get a sustainable loan to fund our new stadium, which, as I'm sure you all know, we're $11 million short for on our funding. This week we passed £2 million, and that's a big step. And it was actually our kit man, who's been a volunteer since our Ryman League days, who's a big, big shout out for Robin, who's been involved since pretty much day one. It's just pure coincidence. He's the man who put us over $2 million. We're on around $2.3 million at the moment. And it was a media day to effectively launch it to the press. A lot of the big press were there. And it's a really chance for us to go out and push, press it and try and get as many people in. Because even if you're not a Wimbledon fan, there are some really good returns on this. And it's an opportunity. I know I'm selling it hard, but we do need the money. But let's try and get as many people involved in this because it's a great event and it's a really good cause and it's so important for us. It was a media launch and it was so many people there. It was so great to see and you really got a feel of how our club was. And I know, Kevin, a lot of your heroes were there as well.
Yes, thank you. Making me feel very old. Yeah, Terry Gibson and John Scales are there, Dickie Guy. It's great to see those people there Terry Gibson left us 28 years ago. John Scales left Wimbledon 26 years ago. And it's still part of them. I mean, I don't know if that's the same with every player and every club, but there's something about being a Wimbledon player or an ex-Wimbledon player that you the club never leaves you. It's kind of strange, but it's great that those players are around. Will Nightingale, our captain, was there, and he signed up to the bond. He invested some of his money into the bond as a current player. Now, we don't, I mean, it's, there's all kinds of ramifications with the financial stuff that you have to take into consideration. When you are buying a bond, you're basically lending the club your savings. I mean, it's, the bottom line is you can dress it up any way you want, and there are many ways to dress it up, but that's what it is. So if you've got £2,000 or £3,000 or £10,000 that you were saving for some rainy day, this is the rainy day. Invest it in the club. You'll get it back. That's the guarantee. Within 5, 10 or 20 years, you'll get that money back. And you can select your own rate of interest. So you can, if you want, you can select a rate of interest of up to 4%. So you can, 4% over 10 years. But then we believe someone invested £100,000 the other day with no interest. So they'll get that back maybe in 20 years' time. So whoever that was, thank you very much indeed, because that was a huge amount of money. But we still got a way to go. We just, as George said, we do need 3 million to make a significant dent in the 11 million. A loan of 8 million is a lot more sustainable than even 9 million. And I think, have we gone past 2.5 yet? Are we still in 2.4 territory?
We are on 2.469 at the moment.
Okay, so we're not far off 2.5. So if we can get to 3 million, we have got until next Friday the 14th, although it's possible we could have a few more days extension if feasible. But we're looking for people who have got, if you don't have life savings, you don't have, and you can't afford it, then it's not for you. But if you have that kind of money put by, you've got a pension or you've got some kind of endowment plan that's just come out, and you think, well, what can I do with this? Well, here's what you can do. You can help save our football club, let's be fair.
So what's the sell then, Kevin? What's the sell? Is that it? Just to save our football club? What are you telling someone who... Are you wanting that person to have an affiliation with AFC Wimbledon? Or if someone walks through the door now, doesn't know anything about AFC Wimbledon, what's the sell?
Yeah. We tell them the story of where we've come from, of what happened, how we went from non-league to football league in 9 years, spent 14, got and then got into the old First Division, the Premier League again within another 9 years, spent 14 years there, club got moved, we started again, and within another 9 years we're back in the Football League. It's an extraordinary story that you couldn't write because it's just too ridiculous. And all the characters along the way that have come and gone, it's just been a fantastic story. It's a heartwarming story, heart-rending story if you want. And if you talk to the right people, you'll get embroiled in the emotion of it. I mean, a friend of mine is the brand manager for a Premier League footballer, and there's talk that he liked the story. Maybe we can get something from him as well. That'd be fantastic. But you don't need to be a football fan or a sports fan. You just need to want to feel good about yourself. If you've got £5,000 that you don't know what you're going to do with, put it in the club and you'll have something. You'll have done something great for a lot of people. It's not done it for yourself, but you've loaned the club the money. The money goes towards building the stadium. 10 years' time, you get your money back and more. And there will be 8,000-10,000 people who will be eternally grateful. If that makes you feel good, that's the sell, as I'm concerned. Journalistically, from my point of view, that's the sell. Did that work?
Yes, I think it worked on everyone listening. I know you mentioned that Will Nightingale was there. He obviously put money in himself. But also, I know I talked about it earlier, but the academy, all of the academy parents are clubbing together and they're going to buy a collective bond, which is going to be at 0% interest, and the money will be repaid to the academy to invest in the long-term funding for the club.
That's great, isn't it?
And that's great for them, and it just shows how collective and how unified we are as a club. And that's so important right now, considering where we were. You know, a lot of times over the last sort of 14 months or so, the club's been divided, let's be honest.
Yeah.
And a month ago, we were as divided as we ever have been. But this has divided sort of... everyone's come together over this now, and this has now really brought us as a club together, and people have realised that this is worth doing now, and we are so close to being where we need to be.
Yes, I mean, when this story broke back in November and we were £11 million short, it seemed like the only option was outside investment, and then the outside investment came forward and it was just like, no, that's nowhere near what we want, and we're not going to give you that much of the club. It just seemed that maybe that was it. That could be the end of it. And then a group of people who were not necessarily named, but they know who they are, came up with this idea of the bond scheme. And then you start thinking, well, actually, that could work. and this is how far we've got. So the idea of, oh, that could work, here we are 6 weeks later with £2.5 million. And some of our old players involved in it, and TV coverage and radio coverage, and we're talking about it now, and Sky were there, and the newspapers were there. It was a big story in the Evening Standard. Xavier Wiggins, who I used to play football with 25 years ago, he's in the Evening Standard talking very passionately, as he does, about the club and what it means to him, and the fact that he's not the only person that that means that much to. So we've done an amazing job. And I say we because I haven't done it, but the fans have done an amazing job. And if you think about it, we've raised, you know, best part of £5 million in the last year.
Yeah.
How much was Cedars in the end?
The Cedars was about 2.43, actually. I think just today, or in the last couple of hours, we have passed the Cedars total.
So we're looking at the best part of raising £5 million from the supporters.
Within 6 months?
Man United supporters could raise £5 million in 10 minutes. But there's only 6,000 of us, isn't
there?
The fact it's huge. I mean, you know, those of us that did invest in the Cedars thing, it's almost like it's been surpassed. But that money was also important.
Yeah.
I don't want people to think, oh, that Cedars money's gone now. It hasn't. That's also going to be, this is a separate thing. Yeah. So to a small group of fans of a bottom four League One club to have raised that much money in this short space of time, again, is just brilliant. So thank you to everyone who's doing this, because you're playing a huge part in our future.
And I know you touched on it there. It was one of those things where this all came about from a meeting at the club and a group of fans just demanding a show of hands, demanding that we look at this. And the show of hands in the room made the club look into this and say, do you know what, maybe this is something we can look at. And to come from that to being what will in 24 hours in no doubt be over £2.5 million. By the time it closes, we'll probably be near or hopefully over £3 million. That just goes to show the power of fan ownership still, despite what the doubters are saying.
And you think the people involved in this, you're looking at Xavier Wiggins, Charlie Talbot, Peter Bowles, Damien Woodward, if there's anybody else I've left out, I apologise, they're the driving forces behind it. They didn't go to that meeting on that Monday with this in mind.
No.
It wasn't like they had plans all drawn up. It's just, well, it's just an idea. And for that little kernel of an idea to now is only, what, 6 weeks, 7 weeks?
Yeah.
Maybe 8 weeks. But that's nothing. To have gone that far is absolutely incredible. And we are an amazing group of fans when you think of what we've done. Clubs fall apart, sadly, quite regularly, and then that's it. And we just wouldn't let it happen again. And it's testament to, as you said, the fact that we do have divisions, whether Wally Down stayed or went, or whether Neil Ardley stayed or went, or whether we took investment or not. At the end of the day, we all want the same thing, and now we're proving it in a very, very, it's an extraordinary, unprecedented way.
So senior players as well. Do you think enough of them were at the event, Kevin? You mentioned John Scales, who was sporting, by the way. Very Kevin Borras-esque stubble, I thought. That was a new look for him.
Yes,
I know he was always a bit of a looker back in the day, but he's modelling himself on Kevin Borras now.
Yes,
but
I took that and I saw that and thought, yeah, maybe that's why I've shaved mine off, because I look old as well. But he's 54, to be fair. He's a bit older than me. It's good that Terry and John Scales are there. It would have been nice for other players to have been there, but they've got other lives and whatever. But you think of people like, we believe Vinnie Jones contributed to the Cedars Fund. We don't know this, but it's one of those rumours that we'd like to believe to be true. In terms of actual playing staff, Will Nightingale, I think, was the only one there. But again, we believe...
Why was there only one player there?
I
don't know.
Will was there representing all of the players, I think.
Was he?
As club captain, he was the player representative there.
And, of course, he's a fan.
He
grew up as a Wimbledon fan. Him, it means a lot more.
It was a focus point that he was a Wimbledon fan and has been with us since he was eight. And there he was, you know, supporting us, making us go home and allowing us and putting his own money, you know, supporting his club to get us back to where we belong.
But do we think the other players have done the same thing? We know he did because he was on TV signing the form. But do we think other players have done the same things? It would be nice if they did. I mean, they don't have to because they're not supporters. They're employees. But do you think they've done the same thing?
You'd like to hope so. And you'd certainly hope Will's trying to sell it to them as we speak.
Yeah. Whoever sold him that jacket sold him a Kippen. My God. Sorry. That was a horrible jacket, Will. I'm sorry. I love Will Nightingale. Fantastic player. Great club man. Terrible jacket.
This is the AFC Wimbledon Fan Show here on Love Sport. Next up, we're going to look ahead to the games coming up in League One against Fleetwood and Ipswich.
Love Sport Radio, the station giving fans a voice.
The AFC Wimbledon Fan Show here on Love Sport. Me, Matt Beadle, with George Jones and Kevin Borras of the 9 Years podcast. We're looking ahead now to games with Fleetwood at the weekend, and then Ipswich, of course, next week to Fleetwood, travelling to Kings Meadow. AFC Wimbledon, of course, with a very good home record. Just 3 defeats at home all season for AFC Wimbledon, and that is the best record of the bottom 10 clubs in the division. Conversely, Fleetwood, 6 defeats on the road this season, and that is the worst record of the top 10 in League One. So you'd like to think there is a chance for a victory in this one, George.
Yeah, you'd have to hope so. Like I said, we tend to perform better against the better teams, and Fleetwood, despite the away game this year, we've always had a reasonably good record against. And it's one of those where if we can win, you look at who the other teams in the bottom sort of bottom 5, bottom 6 are playing on Saturday and again on Tuesday. And it's one of those where we could pull clear over the next week, or we could be in real serious trouble. And you've got to look at it, and obviously, it's gonna, like you said, it's going to be Ipswich on Tuesday night. That's a very, very tough game. Fleetwood is winnable, and we've got to go in with a positive attitude, and we've got to hope that we didn't turn up against Accrington. We've got to turn up against Fleetwood, because if we don't, the players they've got, the way they're set up under their manager, they could punish us. And we've got to hope, like I said, it'll be hopefully a big crowd, because it is, you know, getting in, kids, getting in for cheap. And you just got to hope that, you know, hopefully the players will turn up and hopefully we can get the 3 points, because we do quite desperately need them.
We can't keep expecting Tranmere to lose all their games in hand, which they now have, because they had 2 games in hand on us, and they've lost them both. Lost 3-0 home to Doncaster on Tuesday. They've got 2 more home games, so they've had 5 of the last 6 at home. On that awful pitch, which looks to be getting worse and worse and worse, they are struggling, and we can't rely on them to keep losing. At some point, they will turn something around. They've got Morgan Ferry up front. They've got a very good player. They just signed James Bourne on loan as well, who doesn't seem to score that many goals. He's one of those players that you expect to score. So at some point, Tranmere are going to get it right, and we need to be more than 6 points above them when they start winning again.
Because that was the thing.
Yeah.
When we, this time last year, we were 9 points off safety.
Yes.
At the moment, we're 6 clear.
Yep.
So, obviously, we do need to make sure, let's just try and keep getting those points. At the very least, matching Tranmere. But their next, Tranmere's next two are against Portsmouth and Bristol Rovers.
Yes.
And you got to hope, if they lose both of them, they are in quite serious trouble, especially if we can pick up a win, hopefully against Fleetwood, but, you know, who knows, maybe against Ipswich. But if we can get points there and it's Tranmere lose the next two, they're in quite serious trouble. And all of a sudden, you're looking at them not being a million miles clear of Southend and Bolton.
Yeah, and we're playing Tranmere at home on the 21st of March. So,
yeah.
Can
we be nice double figures clear of them by then?
Thank you. Exactly what I was going to say. If we're 10 points clear of Tranmere by that point, I'm even Mr. Pessimistic, which is me, I will think we'll be okay.
Yeah.
Because you can't imagine Southend and Bolton are going to get out of it. As we said last week, Matt,
I think Bolton and Southend are complete write-offs, as positive, yeah, if you want to be a football fan of, yeah, Southend and Bolton, and they'll be the first to admit that. So it is. It's just that one place, isn't it? It is just Tranmere, just 3 points separating yourself. And MK, of course, Rochdale, it's 4. They are not in a particularly decent run of form, but then neither a lot of the top clubs as well. Teams tend to get in and around the playoffs and then just panic, I suppose. Fleetwood being one of them. I think they got the first win in 7 at the weekend, didn't they?
Mm. Yeah. It's a strange division, isn't it? This year's odd. I thought, like, I've got to be fair, the quality of the football this season is worse. Last year you had Barnsley, Luton, Charlton playing good quality football. I generally think Wickham might even not get in the playoffs. Ipswich have went through that spell of not winning at home for 4 months. Rotherham are up and down. There's not one team running away with it because everyone's so close. You think when Shrewsbury playing Liverpool the other day, they're 8 points above the relegation zone and only 7 off the playoffs.
Yeah.
So even in January, it's really truncated. You expect this at the beginning of the season, but no one's pulled away. And I just think everyone's got something to play for, which is good. We don't want to play teams who have got nothing to play for, because you'll end up losing to them.
Yeah.
Because just being the life of a Wimbledon fan is you've got these 2 home games coming up. You think, well, we could beat Fleetwood. It should be tricky. You know full well it's going to be the other way round.
Yeah.
Well, we could lose 3-0 to Fleetwood again and then beat Ipswich. We're just that kind of club. Mentally, we just expect it and almost look forward to it. But I would be massively happy with 4 points on those 2 games.
Yeah, I think we all would.
Because the next game is Rotherham away, and that's a bit of a tricky one.
Yeah. But like we've been saying, we are a club that turns up against the sort of bigger teams, and this year the big teams do seem to be losing to a lot of the smaller teams. I mean, we beat Peterborough, and you look at it, and the best team I've seen, as much as it hurts me to say it, are Oxford. They're the best team I've seen this season. And you look at where they are, they're struggling.
Mm.
And
now,
you look
Oxford play the best football, I agree.
Yeah, and I mean, it obviously hurts us to say that, but it's one of those where you look at them and I remember I came on this show after the Oxford game and said there'll be automatic promotion almost guaranteed. And now it's looking like they might not make the playoffs.
It's a remarkable
division this year, and it's one of those years where we're quite lucky with so many teams, with effectively, let's be honest, three teams gone before the season started with how they were set up. And everyone else, it's a good year to have a struggling season with one relegation spot and all of the good teams being poor as well. This could be a year where a side like Wickham does end up going up and then straight back down again, inevitably.
But I think Bury's demise is very sad for Bury's supporters, and of course, but I think it might be the year that we get lucky by a bit. Do you know what's interesting? I was talking to someone last week who does a football league website and a blog. He said, could you come up with the best 11 players you've come up with this season? Put a team. He sent me like a team lineup on a pitch.
Are you going to do all 11 here, Kevin, before you get into this?
No, I'm not at all. This is the point. Thank you, though. No, I'm not. And I could only think of five.
Yeah.
I couldn't come up with 11 players because he said no one from your team, which is fair enough. He's doing that to other people as well. So I couldn't put Marcus Force in there. I couldn't think of him. I've got about four or five players in and thought, last season, I'd have been Barnsley, Luton, Charlton players, done. But this really did. Other than Matt Crooks was the first one that came to mind. I've been struggling to think of any outstanding players. There's no outstanding teams and not really many outstanding players in this division. The top scorer's got, what, 18, 19? And then after that, it's like 12.
Yeah.
It's really strange. It's good for competitiveness ratings, but in terms of someone running away with it, there's nothing.
Absolutely. Right, gents, before we end the show, we have had one question in from Rage Womble. He has asked, when is Tommy Wood going to get some game time? He was immense pre-season, and for Leatherhead, he scored on Tuesday. What more does he need to do to get a game?
I think he's one of those players, like I touched upon, technically he's not great, but he might, you know, get a goal. He seems to be in the right place at the right time, you know, a fair amount, and does seem to be getting a goal a game nearly whatever level he's playing at. So he's one of those players who I think, in obviously Glenn's mind, hopefully we pull away a bit and we have two or three games towards the end of the season where we can really rotate, look at Wood, look at Rosgrove, and get all of those players minutes to evaluate where we are next year. But otherwise, I think he might be stuck for 10, 15 minutes off a bench when we're struggling.
But there's only one way of finding out how good Tommy Wood is, and we haven't done that. He's been on the bench, what, 6, 7 games in a row now, not come on. It's almost unfair on it. But it's better off for him maybe going on loan to a National League side or a National League South side. I mean, go to Ebbsfleet or Sutton or whoever needs him and get better game time. All respect to Leatherhead, that's a long way down from the level of football we need him to be at. Stick him in the conference, give him 6, 7 games in the conference for a couple of months, get him back. That might have been a better plan because we just don't know. We've got no idea. But I agree with the caller, was always a tweeter. He deserves a chance.
Lovely stuff. Kevin Boris, thank you very much for joining us this week. George Jones, thank you very much for joining us. This has been the AFC Wimbledon Fan Show. We'll be back next week, same time, 10 p.m. on Thursday for all things AFC Wimbledon. See you then.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.